The case we are now into is just this non-caliphony. It is a terrible one, whether our condition be good or bad outwardly. Our peace hath put us asleep, and the word cannot put men to prayers. Now, the Lord hath begun to threaten, as you have been still in fear of new troubles, and a revolution of affairs again, yet I challenge your own consciences, and appeal to them, whom hath the word prevailed with to put to prayer? Whom hath the rumor of approaching trouble put to their prayers? Whose spirit hath been affected with God's frowning on the land? And this yet more aggraveth your laziness, in the time that God doth show terrible things to his people in Ireland, giveth them a cup of wormwood, and to drink the wine of astonishment, are not you yet at ease? When your brethren and fellow saints are scattered amongst you as strangers, yet your hearts bleed not. Well, behold the end of it. Your case is a sad prognostic of the Lord's hiding his face and consuming us. Nay, it is a sure token that his face is hid already. When Job's friends would aggravate his misery, they sum it up in this: thou restrainest prayer from God. It is more wrath to be kept from much praying, not to be scattered from your own houses. Therefore, if you would have the cloud of God's anger, that covereth the land with blackness, go over you, and pour out itself on others, if you would prevent the rod, hearken to the word, and stir up yourselves to much prayer, that you may be called his remembrancers. Oh, how long shall prayer be banished this kingdom? The Lord's controversy must be great with us, for, since the days of our first love, there has been great decay of the spirit of prayer. The children of God should be so much in it, as they might be one with it. David was so much in prayer, as he in a manner defined himself by it, Psalm 109:4, I give myself unto prayer. In the original, there is no more but I prayer. I was all prayer. It was my work, my element, my affection, my action. Nay, to speak the truth, it is the decay of prayer that hath made all this defection in the land. Would you know the original of many a public man's apostasy and backsliding in the cause of God, what maketh them so soon forget their solemn engagements, and grow particular, seeking their own things, and tender in seeking the things of God? Would you trace back the desertion up to the fountainhead? Then come and see. Look upon such a man's walking with God in private, such a man's praying, and you shall find matters have been first wrong there. Alienation and estrangement from God himself, in immediate duties and secret approaches, hath made men's affections cool to his interest in public duties. And believe it, the reason why so few great men or none are so cordial, constant, and thorough in God's matters is this: they pray not in secret, they come to parliament or council where public matters concerning the honor of God are to be debated, as any statesman of Venice would come to the Senate. They have no dependence on God to be guided in these matters, they are much in public duties, but little in secret with God. Believe it, any man's private walking with God shall be read upon his public carriage, whether he be minister or ruler. There is yet another thing we would have you consider, to endear this duty unto you, and bind upon your consciences an absolute necessity of being much in it, and it is this. Prayer and calling on his name is often put for all immediate worship of God, especially the more substantial and moral part of service. This people was much in ceremonials, and they made these their righteousness, nay, but there was little secret conversing with God, walking humbly with him, loving him, believing in him. Well, then, prayer is, as it were, a compend and sum of all duties. It contains in it faith, love, repentance. All these should breathe out in prayer. In a word, if we say to you, be much in prayer, we have said all, and it is more than all the rest, because it is a more near and immediate approach to God, having more solid religion in it. If you be lively in this, you are thriving Christians, and if you wither here, all must decay, for prayer sappeth and watereth all other duties with the influence of heaven, that stirreth up himself to take hold on thee. This expresseth more of their condition under the rod, and while God was threatening to depart and leave them, none took so much notice of it, as to awake out of his dream, to take a fast hold of God. It was but like the grip a man tacketh in his slumbering, that he soon quitteth in his sleep. None awaketh himself, as a bird stirreth up itself with its wings to flight, none do so spread out their sails to meet the wind. This importeth a great security and negligence, a careless stupidity. To take hold, to grip strongly and violently, importeth both faith acted on God, and communion with God, so that the senses, nobody careth whither thou go, there is none that stirreth up himself to take violent hold of thee. Men lying loose in their interest, and indifferent in the one thing necessary, do not strongly grip to it. Nobody keepeth thee by prayer and intercession, so that there is no diligence added to diligence, there is no stirring up of ourselves in security. First, when the Lord seemeth to withdraw, and when he is angry, it is our duty to take hold the more on him, and not only to act faith, and call on him by prayer, but to add to ordinary diligence, it should be extraordinary. 1. Then, I say, when the Lord is withdrawing and seemeth angry, we ought not to withdraw from him by unbelief, but to draw near, and take hold on him. And the Lord giveth the reason of this himself, Isaiah 27:4-5, because fury is not in me. It is but a moment's anger, it is not hatred of your persons but sins, it is not fury that hath no discretion in it, no difference between a friend and an enemy, it is but at least a father's anger, that is not for destruction but correction. The Lord is not implacable. Come to him and win him, let him take hold of me, and let him make peace with me, if he will make peace. He is a God whose compassions fail not, and so he is never so angry, but there is room left for manifestation of mercy on those that come to him. God's anger is not in humor and passion, as ours is. He can take the poor child in his arms, admit it into his bosom, when outward dispensations frown. Men's anger is like the sons of Belial, briars and thorns, that none may come near to, lest they be hurt, but God angry, is accessible, because his anger is still tempered and mixed with clemency and mercy, and that mixture of mercy is so great and so predominant in all his dispensations here, that they being rightly understood, might rather invite to come, than scare from it. There is more mercy to welcome, than anger to drive away. Look upon the very end and purpose of God's hiding himself, and withdrawing, it is this that we may come and seek him early, Hosea 5:15. When God is angry, mercy and compassion principleth it, for anger is sent out to bring in wanderers. His anger is not humor, but resolute and deliberate, walketh upon good grounds, because David in his prosperity missed not God. When all things went according to his mind, then he let God of, where he will, therefore, the Lord in mercy must hide his own heart with a frowning countenance, and cover himself with a cloud, that David may be troubled, and so take hold on God, Psalm 37:8. Since, then, this is God's purpose, that you may come nearer to him, and since he goeth away that you may pursue, certainly he will never so run away, as you may not find him out, nor will he run farther nor he strengtheneth thee to pursue him. Thus, Psalm 63:8, God was flying and David pursuing, nay, but the flyer giveth legs to the pursuer, he upholdeth him, as it were against himself, so did the angel strengthen Jacob to overcome himself. Now, shall it not be pleasant to God, that you lay hold on him as your own, even when he seemeth to be clothed with vengeance, seeing he changeth his outward countenance for this very end. He seemeth to go, that you may hold. Because, when you think he stayeth, you hold not, as the child, while the nurse is near, will look about it, and take hold of anything, but when she withdraweth, the child cleaveth the faster to her. But, too, we ought to stir up ourselves more now than any other time. Times of God's withdrawing calleth for extraordinary and doubled approaches. So Hosea 5:15, they will seek me early. And therefore the Lord's children in Scripture have made great advantage of such dispensations. The truth is, as long as we are well dealt with, security creepeth on, and religion is but in a decaying condition. Duties are done through our sleep, we are not as men awaking and knowing what we do, and whither we go. But when the Lord beginneth to trouble us, and hides his face, then it is time to awake out of sleep, before all be gone, and there ought to be, 1. More diligence in duties and approaching to God, because your case furnisheth more matter of supplication, and as matter of supplication groweth, prayer should grow. If necessity grow, and the cry be not according to necessity, it is ominous. And therefore David useth to make his cry go up according to his trouble. In a prosperous condition, though everything might call a tender-hearted loving Christian to some nearness to God, yet ordinarily, if necessity press not, prayer languisheth and groweth formal. Sense of need putteth an edge on supplication, whereas prosperity blindeth it. The heart missing nothing, cannot go above sublunary things, but let it not have its will here, and the need of heaven will be the greater. Now I say, if you sit so many calls, both from a command, and from your own necessities, you do so much the more sin. Affliction will make even a hypocrite seek him, and pour out a prayer and visit him, Psalm 78 and Isaiah 26. And if you do not take advantage of all these pressures, you must be so much the more guilty, and therefore God, as it were, wondereth at their obstinacy, they return not to him that smiteth them. All this is come upon us, yet have we not prayed. And, too, it is sent for that end, that you may be more serious, and therefore you ought so much the more to awake, to lay hold on him. This is the way the Lord useth with his secure and wandering children, Psalm 119:67. For the Lord findeth us often gripping too strongly to a present world, and taking it in our arms, as if we were never to part with it. Men's souls cleave to outward accommodations, therefore the Lord useth to part us and our idol, that we may take hold of him the faster. It is union with himself that is our felicity, and it is that which God most endeavoreth. When he removeth beloved jewels, it is, because they were a stumbling block, and divorced the soul from God. When he seemeth to withdraw himself, his going proclaimeth so much, oh, follow, or perish. 3. It is a very dangerous thing, when he withdraweth and you follow not, when he is angry and you care not, do not fly in to make peace with him. Certainly his anger must wax hotter, and desertion will become a spiritual plague, rods must be tempered with much bitterness. What mixture of mercy can be in such a dispensation, where the fruit of it is to harden? But if the Lord's hardest dealing wrought you to more nearness and communion with himself, then certainly you have a fair advantage against the present trouble, and you have your cup mixed. You shall at length bless God for such dispensations, they may be reckoned for good to you. Next, there ought to be more exercise of faith, and laying hold of the grounds of consolation in God in such a time. 1. For, as difficulties grow, faith should fortify itself against them so much the more. The greater the storm be, it should fly the more into the chambers. Faith in the time of a calm day getteth no trial, faith balketh much, because it hath not much to do. But except there be some fresh and new supplies, it cannot hold out in a temptation. But it is a singular proof of a noble and divine faith, that it can lay hold on him and keep him, when he would go, that can challenge kindness on a miscoming Jesus, that can stand on the ground of the promises when there is not a foot breadth of a dispensation to build on. While all things go with you, ye have no difficulty to maintain your faith, nay, but when the Lord seemeth to look angry, then awake and gather strength, and take hold on his strength. Look what is in your condition or his dispensation, what is good or ominous, then take hold on the other hand on him, and look what is in him to answer it, and swallow it up. Ye ought to be well acquainted with the grounds of consolation that are in God, in the worst case, and then ye might lay hold on him, though he seemed a consuming fire. It is then a time that calleth most for securing your interest in him, a time when there is no external advantage to beguile you, a time when the only happiness is to be one with God. Therefore the man who, in such calamities and judgments, is not awakened to put his eternal estate out of question, he is in a dangerous case. For, do not most part drive over their days, and have no assurance of salvation, they dare not say either pro or contra. It may be, and it may not be. And this is the length that the most part come, a negative peace, no positive confidence, no clear concluding, on sure grounds, an interest. Always ye are most called to this, when God afflicteth the land or you, if ye do not then make peace it is most dangerous. 2. The Lord loveth faith in a difficulty best, it is the singlest and the cleanliest, it is that which most honoreth him, and glorifieth his truth and faithfulness, and sufficiency and mercy, for then it is most purely elevated above creatures, and pitcheth most on God, and therefore bringeth men to this, no help for my soul, but thou art my portion. And this commendeth God most, when he is set alone. Prosperity bringeth him down among creatures, and secure faith maketh little distinction, but awakening faith grippeth strongly and singly, cutteth God alone. Secondly, oftentimes, when God is departing, none stirreth up himself to lay hold on him. Although there may be praying and doing of many duties, yet there is nothing beyond ordinary. The varieties and accessions of new grounds of supplications doth neither make greater frequency nor more fervency. This our experience may clear unto us both in duties and faith. 1. There is very little diligence in seeking of God in the way and means appointed, even when God seemeth to bid farewell to the land, and go away. Nobody cometh in as an intercessor. Men keep on their old way of praying, and never add to it, come what like. Who is it that riseth above his ordinary, as the tide of God's dispensation is? There ought to be such an impression made by the changes of God's countenance, as might be read on the duties of his people. There should be such a distance between your ordinary and such times as between a sleeping man and a waking man, that whatever your attainment of access to God be, ye might stir up and go beyond it according, as matters call. Will God count your public fasts a performance of this duty? Alas, we fast sleeping, and none stirreth up himself to these things. Is there any difference betwixt your solemn humiliation and another Sabbath? And is there any difference between a Sabbath and a weekday, save the external duty? Is not this palpably our case? Is there any wakening among us? No, security is both the universal disease and complaint, and it is become an incurable disease, since it became a complaint. Doth any of you pray more in private than he used? Or what edges on your prayers? Alas! the Lord will get good leave to go from us, it feareth me that we would give Christ a testimonial to go overseas. Hold him, hold him. Nay, the multitude would be gladly quit of him, they cannot abide his yoke, his work is a burden, his word is a torment, his discipline is bands and cords, and what heart can ye then have to keep Christ? What violence can ye offer to him to hold him still? All your entreaties may be fair compliments, but they would never rend his garment. 2. There is no upstirring to faith among us, and laying hold on Jesus Christ, albeit all his dispensations warn us that it is now high time. There are not many who are about this point, effectually to stir up their faith or to secure their interest. Think ye that conjectures will carry you through difficulties? The multitude think they believe much, but any temptation proveth their mistake. The most part of Scotland would deny God and his Son Jesus Christ, if they were put to it. Always it is a time ye would not lie out from your stronghold, faith only uniteth you to Christ, and if ye would be kept in any trial, stir up faith. Thirdly, prayer and faith, diligence and laying hold on God, must go together and help one another. Not calling on his name, and not laying hold on him go together, and have influence one upon another. 1. Faith hath influence on prayer. Laying hold on God in Christ will make right calling on his name, it learneth men how to call God, to call him Abba, Father. Faith useth to vent itself in prayer. I say, much consideration of God, and claiming into him, and to the grounds of confidence in him, must both make prayer acceptable, and carry the stamp and impression of God's name, or Christ's name, on it, and also make much prayer for, when a soul hath pitched on God as its only felicity, and thus made choice of him, it findeth in him all sufficiency, all things for all things. There is no necessity, but it findeth the supply in his fullness for it, and therefore it applieth a man to the fountain, to draw out of the wells of salvation. There is nothing can be so sweet and refreshing, as for such a soul to pour out itself every day in him, to talk with him face to face. Faith engageth the heart to come to God with all things, whereas many difficulties would have been, and the secure and settled heart would have gone, as many different ways to help them. Faith layeth hold on God, knoweth but one, and bringeth all here, and therefore access to God is a fruit of it, access unto the grace wherein we stand by faith. And again, how can prayer be acceptable as long as faith doth not principle it? It is but like a beast's groaning under a burden. Laying hold on God himself makes a man's duties acceptable, because he speaks and asks, believing that he shall receive, he trusteth God and doth not tempt him. Where lively faith is not entertained there cannot be much affection which is the oil of the wheels. There may be in some bitterness of spirit much vehemency, but that is not a pure flame of divine love that burneth upward to him, and it is soon extinguished, and lasteth no longer nor presents sense, and then the soul groweth harder, as iron that had been in the fire.